live from the landing strip. It's the 320th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in, guys. If you're watching us live, what's up? Thank you for doing that. I'll pull you up here on my old handy-dandy smartphone in just a second. Even I'm not in here live yet. Yeah, not Robert. What's up, Robert?
Hey!
Robert Drapp, so not Medlin.
Because
we got two Roberts now. But I think he said that his name was James. But remember the last time he was in there, he said he was James from Facebook, right?
Got you.
Okay, no. Robert and James, right? From Facebook. Like, from the HWR page or, like, from one of us?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. All right, well, Robert, James, whoever the hell you are, welcome. Say happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, motherfucker.
I don't celebrate birthdays.
Robert or James, whoever you may be. Maybe that's like a middle name, last name thing. Yeah. Robert James Drapp. Yeah.
Congratulations on your anniversary of escaping the womb.
It's from Abel. What's from Abel? He said it's from Abel. From my Facebook?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Ooh. I'm gonna set my phone down. Anyway. Happy motherfucking birthday. Thank you for joining us on your motherfucking birthday.
That's sad.
If it's...
Come on, man. Ain't you got any family? Oh, ain't God. You got any friends? That booty call that charges you $100 when you're done? Nothing?
That's not a booty call.
Really?
If they charge you $100 when they're done, that's not a booty call.
And shit, they give it away for free.
God damn it. Anyway, if you're watching us live and you're not logged in, please log in. That way we can berate you the same way we're berating this guy here. And you could, you know, just say hi, ask us questions, fact check us, talk shit, whatever. I'll see it here on the live chat and I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio. And hey, guess what? Porsche actually dusted off the old Instagram this past week when we
wait, what kind of pictures did she put on that?
It's just me like this.
No. Oh, man, you sure it's not Porsche like that?
Well,
I mean, she's got the hardware.
I have. I need the hardware update. I don't know. But anyway, she dusted off the whole Instagram because we had a dark match episode this past weekend where her and I reviewed the first three episodes of WOW, Women of Wrestling.
You want to share some behind-the-scenes talk that we did before we clicked the record button tonight? All right.
You
walked in and asked me, hey, motherfucker, did you listen to our podcast with me and Porsche? I was like, I haven't gotten to it yet. And he said, well, because you're not on it. You don't listen to that shit, asshole.
I didn't say that.
And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. But I'm too shallow to care about anybody's opinion. And then you said, well, the reason I tell you, why did you tell me?
I don't, because I want to know your opinion of it. That's why I asked.
No, because apparently on the Instagram Facebook face dealy,
Instagram,
somebody liked your World of
WOW actually liked it and okay, cool. But that was unbeknownst to me as I proceeded to shit all over the product in the episode. I was pretty harsh. Porsche was like the nicer one about it.
There is not a redeeming quality on your end?
The redeeming quality is the actual bell-to-bell in-ring wrestling.
Okay.
For most of the matches.
Mm-hmm.
The non-
You gotta
tune in. If you wanna know my opinion, you gotta tune in.
So or just, Porsches.
Or Porsches, yeah. Porsches opinion too. That counts. That matters. So yeah, go ahead and tune in on that. So if you will.
If you will, daddy. All right. Normally on this
honest program, criticism is the important part. Yes, that's true. That's true, sir.
On this fine program, we tend to go chronologically. However, when I posted on Facebook what your match of the week was, so far it's been resounding. Apparently something happened on Sunday, man, and I was too busy watching either the Puppy Bowl or World Cup curling. But I made time for something called Halftime Heat. Tell them what the hell Halftime Heat is.
Like, historically?
Yes.
Okay, Halftime Heat, there was... Three of them or two of them before?
One.
Just one?
Yeah.
No,
they had the arena match.
There was only one.
Mm-hmm. This was the 20th anniversary of the other halftime heat.
Robert Medlin. What's up, Robert? The regular Robert.
Yeah.
This guy's like the other guy.
Robert Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Classic. I grew up with Glow, so I'm enjoying it. I get you, Robert. I get you that you're enjoying it.
Robert or James?
No, no,
Robert?
No, no, no. Robert Medlin.
Ah, Classic.
Okay. Classic Robert. God damn it. Trap, are you Robert or James? Because if you're James, I'm just going to fucking call you James. Okay? Because I can't. We only have two fucking viewers and both of you are named Robert. We can't have this. Anyway, all right. So what was I saying? I was going to say something.
The history of Halftime Heat.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So there was one, apparently, Halftime Heat. That was an empty arena match, and it was pretty cool. It was aired during the Super Bowl halftime show. And it looks like, hey, WWE just realized we have our own network, so we can play whatever the fuck we want, whenever the fuck we want. So why don't we revisit the same idea? And so they had a nice little badass match. NXT folk, 3-on-3, 6-man tag during the actual halftime Super Bowl show.
Mm-hmm.
So it provided a nice alternative to the Puppy Bowl and the
curling.
Yeah, curling. And what else?
Oh, that human dog whistle, Adam Levine and his band.
Yeah, so provided a, you know.
And that curtain that he had as a t-shirt.
Arnold says he'll be the third Robert, but he goes by Bobby. What's up, Arnold? Thank you for joining us a lot.
Bobby Pulido! He doesn't get it. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh, Medlin wants to be known as Record Store Robert.
Vinyl Robert.
Vinyl Robert. There you go. Yeah.
The match is over. The bell rings. The crowd goes wild. Your first word after that 6-man tag was over.
Can I say my first sentence?
Sure.
Can we get a whole half a football worth of that instead of having to tune into this boring-ass fucking game?
The score after the half was the Rams, 0. The Patriots, 3. And Maroon, 5.
Dude, I already was salty enough at this Super Bowl for it being the Pats versus the Rams. Then
you wanted the Saints, didn't you?
You know, I'm not a Saints fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like who dat and all, you know, all that stuff.
What?
But the way that it fucking happened, I'm like, well, fuck the Rams. You know, like I wasn't cool with the way even with our old defensive coordinator being on their team as their defensive coordinator. Yeah, I wasn't down. Like in my eyes, the Pats and the Rams are both heels, man. Nobody was fucking baby faces. And I was pretty much tuning in just more out of obligation than anything else, is because, you know, you're American and it's Super Bowl Sunday. You watch the Super Bowl, you know. But, goddamn, I was not looking forward to a whole extra half of football. But, man, the only thing good about that day was halftime motherfucking heat. That shit was lit.
Does that explain why people are so high about that match as their match of the week? Because of contrast to the rest of the day or the game itself? Or that there were actually Snapchats and Instagrams of people in the arena actually watching Halftime Heat instead of the Maroon 5 show?
Maybe it made it better because of, you know, the circumstances. Maybe you're right. The Super Bowl itself sucked. Maroon 5, bleh. And then you saw all the memes of, yeah, like you said, people at the fucking Mercedes-Benz Stadium with their fucking phones out watching Halftime Heat standing there in the fucking, yeah, okay, get it. And that created a lot of hype and people were laughing about it and, you know, da 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 da. But I thought the match itself was fucking great. Match of the Week candidate.
Woohoo!
Right out of the gate. Match of the Week candidate. Might be my pick. I don't know. We still got to discuss something. But
some things. Okay, Match of the Week candidate. It's high up there. It could be my pick if we want to start nitpicking on some shit. It furthered storyline of all three guys. They said that this kerfuffle happened at the end of TakeOver, which led people to think that people were getting called up after TakeOver. They weren't expecting this, a 6-man tag during the halftime, which
for all the shit that I give WWE, a lot of it well deserved. Again, they're going back to Saudi in May. We'll bitch about that when it's the right time. But for them to actually put NXT on the spotlight instead of a regular four-man or six-man tag, yeah, or even women on their main rosters,
yeah,
that shows that they're willing to invest in the future product that they have by putting those guys and all six of those guys, dude.
I mean, it wasn't The Rock and Mankind. It wasn't their top draws.
Yeah.
Top draws. Mm-hmm. It was the main event scene, pretty much, of NXT, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And Brennan in the crowd.
I know. I was going to bring that up because Arnold just brought it up in the live chat. Brennan made it to TV. Yeah. Well, Brennan,
the second time he's made it to TV.
Yeah, he was on the fucking, like, he was the first thing I saw when I tuned in to Halftime Heat. He was just sitting there in the stands. You know, what's funny is that I also have his dad as a Facebook friend. I don't know how that happened, but I am Facebook friends with his dad.
Desperation.
And, you know, his dad used to play for the Patriots back in the day. So he is sharing photos of him and his family and his wife and Brennan's wife all at the fucking Super Bowl. And like, hey, oh, nice family. Oh, just watching my Pats play. And all these fucking comments, 50, 75 comments of, oh, you made it to the game. That's great. My comment was, I think your son Brennan went to the right event.
Yes!
And Brennan liked it.
And happy birthday to Brennan, by the way.
Oh, is it Brennan's birthday today?
Yesterday.
Happy birthday, Brennan. Good job making it onto NXT TV, even if it wasn't in a wrestling capacity. And, you know, happy birthday. So, yeah. But that was cool. Mark out moment. So, yeah.
Okay.
Robert says, Alistair put on a friggin' clinic. I also enjoyed the non-typical Full Sail crowd. Yes. Adam Cole actually got old-fashioned heel heat. I agree. I fucking love.
Once the mics were turned on.
Well,
because in the beginning, right, you couldn't hear the audience. And then once all the heels came out, the mics by ringside were turned on, you could actually hear the audible of the fans.
Right.
And it did feel good.
I love that they were in the performance center itself, because there was questions about where is this going to be.
They wanted to keep it fresh so that nothing leaked out.
Did they tape it before nobody knew? Or like, where was this actually done? It was done at the performance center. I don't know why nobody fucking thought of that, or at least that I didn't see anybody that thought of that. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck yeah, do it in the actual performance center. That's cool. And then have a bunch of folks in there, and they did. So it didn't look like an empty arena by accident. It looked like a full arena.
Or Full Sail.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. I dug it.
The Avengers pose where Aleister Black does the flip, and then Ricochet does his backflip, and then Velveteen does his little snake slide dealy, and then they all in there together.
Yeah.
And you just hear the song in the background, the Avengers song in the background. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
The interesting dynamics between like Black and Gargano and Cole and freaking Aleister, like stuff that we don't normally see because they're already separated, they're already fragmented in their own rivalries. But to see them mix that way, it's really fresh to me.
I was sleeping on the fact, and I might just be dumb.
You are.
But I was sleeping on the fact that, oh shit, Evil DIY is together now. Mm-hmm. Because in my mind, it was still three different individuals and not DIY and another guy, mm-hmm, you know? And then when the match was actually happening, I was like, oh yeah, those two. and it was good. It was refreshing because I think I sat here last week and bitched about like, hey, I don't want that Evil DIY already to be a thing. I feel like it's too fast. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. Any other details that you want to gush about the match? Because I know it's going to be easy for us to just sit here and say, oh God, all the flippy dippies was cool, because it was. Yeah. And there was a lot of flippy dippies. There was a lot of back and forth. But is there anything specific that's different that you want to give us praise?
They just, the whole thing was fresh altogether. Different and different crowd, new faces. Weren't the same people that were in Full Sail. It felt a little more, not like the TV show, but it felt more raw. That's more because Full Sail, we've gotten accustomed to NXT on television to where Full Sail looks a bit polished for a developmental.
Okay.
And having it in the performance center in that kind of vibe felt a little more independent. Not as a negative, but as a positive. In a good way? In a good way. Like, it felt raw. Because
you're the one always making fun of NXT in space where, you know, they didn't have anybody there.
No, Impact.
Oh, excuse me. Impact in space. My bad. You're right. Impact. But still, I mean, you're always making fun of that shit.
So far, Daryl Hughes, Elias Laredo, Philip Bernard, and Robert Medlin all agree that their match of the week pick is this match.
Okay.
It could have been your pick. Until he showed up, as I do, I show him stuff he might have missed.
He shows me things. Hold on, bitch! I'm not letting you off the hook. What did you think of this match?
Oh, before we move on,
is it your match of the week?
I told you from the beginning. It's a candidate. It could be my pick. I'm still debating on a couple of matches.
Okay.
A couple.
Okay.
Something happened before that that I might not be so sure. Maybe some of our people, our listeners, our viewers slept on.
Okay.
Worlds collided. Royal Rumble weekend.
Yeah.
And Access. But they aired some of the tournament on the network the day before on Saturday.
This Saturday.
This past Saturday.
Yeah.
15-person Rumble for a bye spot in the tournament. I didn't really want to watch it. For some reason, out of curiosity, I just pressed play.
When you think about it, that's not really a buy. You have to do a 15-person fucking battle royal. That's not really a buy.
I was enamored with a quarterfinal match. Baby Finn, Jordan Devlin, against Drew Gulak. Couple of heels, but Jordan being the high flyer and Gulak being the grappler. Towards the end of the match, they won the crowd over, you know, and it's a WWE crowd, but it's a lot of indie fans that sit around to watch the matches during Access, just like in Mania, just like in the Rumble. But even in that audience, they were crickets in the beginning. And just like most of the matches on 205 Live or most of the matches on television, when it's a cruiserweight, it's a little simmer. Then the heat starts to rise, and before the last bell's rung, it's at a boil.
Okay.
And that match was fun. Devlin pulled out the win after doing some good escaping out of the Dragon Sleeper from Gulak.
Mm-hmm.
So that pushed Devlin in the semis. We had Jordan Devlin against the Velveteen Dream. Start.
All right. When I set foot into Chris's place here today, when I set foot into the landing strip, I came in with the thought that my match of the week pick was going to be the halftime heat. But then he showed me this match. And then I was like, oh, shit, I might be wrong. This might be my match of the week pick. Devlin versus Dream. Not the match that we watched before it. The match we watched before it was the other half of the semifinals, which was Adam Cole.
Baby.
Versus Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate. It was really good.
Now, I'm not taking anything away from that match. That match was really good. Really good. But I think this match was a little bit better. And the reason why I like this match so much was I saw Velveteen in not quite the same light as I've seen him before. We kind of know that Velveteen is a guy that mostly everybody is cheering for as a babyface, but he's not a babyface still. Technically, he's a heel. In this particular match, he was full on 1,000% faces of the baby. Like he was like playing up to the audience as the guy trying to garner sympathy because he was injured, but he was still trying to valiantly fight through it. But he still kind of had his Velveteen androgynous-y gimmick.
His hips were fine to gyrate while he was holding one hand on his ribs trying to sell the injury.
Yeah.
Love Nigel.
God. Yeah, Nigel was great.
Commentary of wrestling.
You know what? That was the only redeeming quality of the Super Bowl. I think I liked Romo calling it. Romo actually did a good job.
He's been on fire all season.
Yeah. Romo's doing a good job on commentary.
Too bad he couldn't do that on the field. But
I mean, he finally made it to the Super Bowl, right? Yeah, finally. But no. This match, what I liked about it, not only the fact was Velveteen actually acting face, but pulling it off. Because sometimes if you're healing act face, it's cheesy. But here, he still seems like he is who he is. But he realizes, hey, people like me, so I'm comfortable in my own skin. Whereas before, he was like almost off-putting in a way. Yeah. You know, as a heel, he's off-putting. But as a babyface, he's like, oh, you guys really like me?
Oh, shit. You really like me?
I feel accepted. I'm still going to be myself, you know?
But I'm more comfortable being myself because I know you like it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Say my name.
The other part about it that I really liked is his emoting the entire way of the match and how I didn't know the story from the quarterfinals, okay? You just plopped me down on the couch and you said, watch this. And out comes Velveteen and he has a fucking poofy shirt on because I'm like, oh, he's fighting UK folk, whatever, you know, Velveteen, that's how he is. But he kept walking around like this, like he's trying to hold his shirt closed, kind of. But like he wasn't like, ah, he was like, oh, I'm just holding my shirt, guys. And look, oh, I'm Velveteen. Look at this. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, it bothered me that he was doing that, but I didn't know why. But then when he got in the ring and there was like, hey, man, take off your shit. I was like, no. Yeah, you got to take off your shirt. You can't wrestle in a puffy shirt. And they're like, no. It's like, fuck. All right, here, you want to look at it? Look at it. Look at it. You like it. You know, like. And it was like the tape, and I'm like, oh, but then when he tried to do it, when he tried to be, you know, boisterous about it, he was wincing in pain, and he never stopped wincing the entire fucking match. It wasn't one of these like, oh, I have a knee injury, but I'm gonna run the ropes for 15 minutes and then I'm gonna sell the knee injury again. No, every fucking move he did, he winced or he like struggled or hesitated or something. The Velveteen Dream did probably the best fucking sell job I've seen in the last 6 months.
Wow!
That sell was amazing. And the match itself was really good. And I loved Baby Balor just kind of healing it up.
You've been gushing about Velveteen for the last 5 minutes.
Go about Baby Balor.
Man,
throw Baby Balor out there.
For anybody that's been in the dark, like myself, up until the last couple of weeks or so, thanks to Scott, there's some rumblings in NXT UK, man, if you guys didn't know it. And Jordan Devlin, the Irish ace, has been turning some heads, man. He does similar moves like Finn, but then he does other moves unique to himself where you're like, oh, what the fuck?
And he just looks like
that pop-up Saito suplex where he pulls him from the floor, he tugs him up and grabs him and just pow.
Fuck.
and he's the kind of guy that will take full advantage of a guy's weakness and exploit it to fucking death.
Maliciously.
Dude, tell him the reaction. Show him the reactions you were doing when Velveteen was in that Boston Crab.
I was like, ooh, I was just making guttural sounds.
Man.
But the thing is, you're getting that a little bit confused. Boston Crab happened in the next match.
No, there was a match during there where there was a hold that he couldn't get out of.
It was a different hold. It wasn't a Boston Crab. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't a Boston Crab. Okay. Because after we were done with this match, I thought, fuck, that's my match of the week. I'm going to piss off Arnold again for not picking his match of the week.
And then
we saw the fucking finals. Tyler Bate versus Velveteen Dream. All that shit I just said about Velveteen Dream and his match versus Baby Balor applied to this match with Tyler Bate. He winced at everything. He struggled at everything. He was a baby face of all baby faces, but still comfortable in his own skin for who he was. He had all of that same shit going for him that he had in the other match. So, all right, already it's like, okay, it's on par with that match. Let's see if Tyler Bate can do a better performance than Devlin. And Tyler Bate, babyface, I was hoping that he would not be like, well, this is the guy that's over, so I'm going to be a heel. I hope he was not going to take that route, and he did not. Mm-hmm. He still was true to himself, too. He was still a babyface as well. But
with a few exceptions.
He did a few things that was like, well, I'm just trying to fucking win this match.
It was British Strong Style
British
kind
strong
of shit.
Style pitch. Yeah. Gotta, you know.
The part that I like before you go into your gush. I always laugh at Tyler Bates' bop and bang. Mm-hmm. The first time he didn't aim at Velveteen's face. He aimed for the tape.
For the ribs.
Drop. And I was like, whoa. I didn't know we were wrestling in fucking Birmingham. This is fun. All right.
Yeah.
Give it to me. And then he slaps him in that Boston Crab.
And that Boston Crab was a beautiful. This is that move where this is the difference between those two matches. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make me pick just between those two matches, Dream versus Tyler Bate. All right. So now it's in my mind, it's a debate between Halftime Heat and Dream versus Tyler Bate for my match of the week pick. But then the only thing is the spot with the Boston Crab. Which, it's not like, why are you gushing over a fucking Boston Crab? Look, after two solid matches of Velveteen selling everything with the ribs, the way Velveteen sold that Boston Crab made that look like the most devastating, innovative new move ever. And the way Bate did it, where he slowly wrenched him into it. He didn't have a full Boston Crab on from the get-go. He had it at the side, almost where he looked like he was going to do a lion tamer, almost where he looked like if he dropped the knee, he'd be in full lion tamer mode. But he wound up turning it, but you could see that Velveteen was struggling against it, so it made it look like Tyler was really working to put him in the thing. And I thought that was going to be the end once he got him in. No, he's
Velveteen starts crawling,
gets over to the rope. Nope, Tyler pulls him away. Sits down, and dude, I thought the execution of that Boston Crab was
pulls him,
yeah,
and then he puts his foot on the back of his head.
Yes, after he does the entire sit down, he pulls away again, and then that's when he relents a little, lets go, and then stomps on his head and just pow, 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 keeps stomping on his head. Like, god damn, that was brutal. It wasn't the finish.
Oh, no.
It wasn't the finish, but that struggle to get into and out of that Boston Crab is what elevates that match versus the match he had with Devlin for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And then the finish where Bates trying to do the Tiger Driver, 87, from the top rope.
Off the top
Velveteen rope. Body drops him, and while he's up there, he does the Purple Rainmaker and gets the pinfall.
And struggles to do it because of the ribs, which I'm glad it wasn't like, oh, get down there, all right, boom.
Yeah.
No, it was like, get down there, oh, motherfucker, I'm going to have to do this. And then he got up, and then he fell, and, fuck, give me the pin, 1, 2, 3, okay. And then he sold it, you know? I loved that. I loved it.
You came under the impression that he was full babyface in the semifinal match. I think up to that weekend, because I saw this in order. I saw Worlds Collide before I saw Halftime Heat.
Hmm.
Up till now, I think Velveteen's been the anti-hero. He still does what he does,
right. But
fans just like him.
Right.
After he beat Tyler Bate, and he left the ring and then looked at Tyler and then decided to walk in and showed the respect by shaking hands, I think that's where he became officially a babyface for me.
Okay. Okay.
Which I don't mind it. I mean, it's due. It's a long time coming. And I don't care if he does the exact same things he's done for the last 2 years, except we like him now, officially.
You know?
It fucking works.
Most of the time when heels are so cool that they get cheered and they turn them face, it doesn't really work because it's like, the shit that made you a badass isn't – you lost your badassery. Mm. But I think with Velveteen, the shit that makes him cool isn't that – he's a badass. The shit that makes him cool is that he's weird and different, and now he's just more confident about being weird and different.
Yeah.
You know? So I think this might work, and it worked during that tournament. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm interested to see. And now he has a choice. He has to pick a championship to buy for, either the NXT championship, the NXT UK championship, or the 205 Live Championship.
Or the NXT North American title.
He could pick one of those?
He could pick that one also. You mentioned it earlier. There was one he might not get.
What's that? The Cruiserweight title? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
he's a big bitch.
he's a big bitch. I don't think he's under 205. So, I really don't want that to be the story. Oh, you know, he cleverly says I'm going to challenge for the 205 title because I get my pick. And even so, the weight class doesn't matter. So I'm going to rule the fucking
I think
that'd be too much of a heel move.
During commentary of Halftime Heat, I think they said that Velveteen was going to use it against Ciampa. We already had that at TakeOver, and Velveteen did there was a moment where where Velveteen had Ciampa beat. So now that he has his rematch, he might actually be able to pull it off this time.
Okay.
So that's it for Worlds Collide.
Now, what if he goes to UK?
I'm not sure if they're ready for him. I'm not sure if the UK fans are ready for a guy like that.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I know who they are ready for.
Who are they ready for?
The Austrian Anomaly. This is your. This might be your first time watching Walter wrestle.
It is. It is.
Another match I made him sit down and watch.
I've heard a lot of things about Walter. I haven't seen him yet. So the classical music starts playing. Sounds like Jaws at the beginning, but it's not Jaws. It goes, you know, okay, whatever. And I'm like, okay, I dig this. I liked it. And he just kind of stood there, hands behind his back, big menacing dude. All right, cool. Match starts. He's going up against a small little flippy dippy.
Jack Stars.
Yeah, and that poor little flippy dippy never had a chance.
He tried.
That chop, that backhand chop. Ooh, fuck, I felt that all the way over here in the future. Fuck, man. Fuck, that chop. Ooh.
One of his first matches in his wrestling career was against Kenta Kobashi.
Okay.
So when Nigel McGuinness is rattling off all these legends that he's trained with or wrestled early in his career to get to where he is now, and he mentions Kenta Kobashi before the match starts, and then you hear the shotgun blast of Walter hitting that poor kid.
That poor kid.
Anybody that's friends with me on Twitter, I mean on Facebook, or has seen the picture that I posted on HWR's Facebook page at the time it happened, Jack Stars against Walter felt like me when I was in boot camp and Booker T chopped me. He just had an outline like this. And after they aired that episode, Jack went to Instagram and showed a picture of how his chest was 30 minutes after, and it was brutal. It was I damn near shed a tear for that little boy. God damn. Rock. Shotgun drop kick into the corner.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. The big old dude did a shotgun drop kick. I was not expecting him to do that.
Nasty power bomb, folded that kid up like an accordion.
Mm-hmm. He didn't do much, but he doesn't have to do much. He kind of has that presence. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand he's in the UK division. He's going up against UK dudes. I hope that it's not like, okay, once we call him up to the main roster, he's like this size of Akam or Rezar.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, he's not quite as menacing, you know, because like going up against Brock Lesnar, he's looking up at Brock, you know, or like looking up at Strowman, you know, like, okay, how menacing could this dude be? Like he goes up against Lashley. All right. Lashley is built like a fucking brick house. But this guy is still kind of flabby. So against like little itty bitty UK dudes. Yeah, he's a big bitch. But against, like, the biggest of the big, where the big boys play main roster, I don't know. We'll have to see how that works out. Because he'll have to add more shit to his repertoire. Because as impressed as I was about him, he did a chop. He did that thing where he threw him on the apron. He did the shotgun dropkick. And he did a powerbomb. And that's it. Other than, like, no-sell the offense from the little guy.
Until towards the end, there was a couple of moves that he sold before he hit him with the dropkick. Before Scott and I did a dark match of the TakeOver Blackpool, we went back and saw some matches of Walter online against the likes of Zack Sabre Jr., against Keith Lee, against Will Ospreay, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, bro.
Yeah, that's what Robert said that he did too. After he watched this match, he said that he instantly went back and tried to watch more about Walter, which he's an impressive guy. And I like the simpleness of his presentation. Mm-hmm. You know, just black trunks, the fucking classical music with the overcoat, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Makes sense for him.
Another match on that show that you didn't get to watch because of time constraints, the Primate. Jay something against Bomber Dave Mastiff was like Vader Jr. basically with the singlet. He's big, but he's agile as fuck. Into the Void is basically a cannonball, running cannonball, but he gets like LeBron type air. in there, like right. Blanca almost. And to see a guy like the Primate stand up to Bomber Dave was actually cool to see. And he has a cool character. Like, he comes out instead of a luchador mask, he has like a ape mask, like a gorilla mask with like mane behind it.
Yeah.
So it kind of matches the personality. And he even has like he'll go like this and raise his hands. Like, he's it works. Again, fresh characters that you don't normally see in front of like nothing but indie guys that just want to like do all kinds of flips and not sell shit, you know?
Yeah.
That was another positive reinforcement as far as presentations of telling you why you should try to give it a chance as opposed to just watching the same old stuff that you can get tired of pretty quick.
Right.
There was more to that episode. There was a women's match. Then there was a tag match with Mustache Mountain because they're trying to get back at the tag titles. But again, trying to watch as much as I can, so I didn't get to watch everything. That's pretty much it for the NXT UK.
And Worlds Collide and all that stuff. Okay. NXT itself, US, it was just the stuff that was taped at TakeOver. So
I remember them being good matches when we talked about it on the prediction show.
Yeah.
But again, if it already happened, I think I remember the spoilers and then I forgot.
Yeah, and I wasn't like super pumped or interested to see it myself.
Yeah.
So we didn't watch it.
So before we get to the main stuff, a couple of things. Tomorrow, the Double or Nothing party that happened in MGM Grand, where they announced they're announcing a couple of new signings. They're announcing the on sale date. It's the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. So it's May 27th, 26th, Saturday in Vegas, MGM Grand.
Okay.
Which is not a bad spot. That's where Halloween Havoc was every year for WCW. It's the size of the Summit Compact Center, you know, not the big arenas like Toyota Center or the T-Mobile Arena down the street on the Strip, but it's a pretty big size place. It is bigger than the Sears Center where the first All-In happened.
Okay.
So they'll be announcing some new signees, maybe a main event, when the tickets go on sale and what the ticket prices will be. I'm already doing WrestleMania weekend, so I told Scott, I was like, I don't know about doing this fucking number two. Until I clicked and saw the recent episode of Being the Elite.
Okay, what happened on that?
It's quite possible they announced the main event already.
Really? Being?
The Young Bucks!
Okay.
Versus the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon and Rey Fénix.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The Young Bucks being on the card and being part of the main event isn't surprising at all. Mm-hmm. I did see that they signed the Lucha Brothers.
Not to an exclusive deal. They can still do Impact, AAA, other stuff, MLW.
Okay.
But they will also be playing in the All Elite Wrestling Playground.
I don't want to be a wet blanket, but I'm going to be a little bit of a wet blanket.
You had a lot of water. Go for it.
Yes. Was it the main event of All In involving Pentagon?
No. The main event of All In was a six-man tag with Bandido, Rey Mysterio, and Kota Ibushi against the Young Bucks and somebody else. I'm trying to remember.
Cody?
It's been a while. No, Cody was with Nick Aldis.
Oh, yeah.
And Pentagon was against Kenny Omega. And you still had Okada and the Villain between all that.
I don't even remember. Yeah. But, yeah. A tag team match as the main event? Okay. Like, I mean, it's the Bucks, so that's probably going to be good. And it's the Lucha Brothers, so that's going to be good. But, all right.
Could be a co-main. Could be something else.
Could be a co-main.
Turns out.
The story isn't there. It seems like this is like, all right, we're just going to, you know, sign these guys, and it's our promotion, so we're going to put ourselves in. And that's it. There's not like – one cool thing about being the Elite and one cool thing about the later years or the later time of the Bullet Club and when all this started forming is that they all had creative control and creative license, and they had stories going. There's not a story between these two other than,
yes.
hey, we're the Bucks, and hey, look who we signed. Then we're going to have a match.
It was a Hell or High Water show last week where the main event was Fénix and Pentagon against LAX.
Okay.
And after the victory, Young Bucks came out and showed, hey, it's good to see it's good to see guys like you proving that we can have tag team wrestling as a main event.
Yes. Okay.
And so I want to, we're looking to fight the best tag team, and you guys look to be the second best tag team in the world.
We're going to have a tag team revolution.
Yeah.
Tag team revolution.
So
give tag teams a chance.
So we could still have, we've got 3 months at least to make something happen. And if there isn't story behind that, again, that's one match. If you don't like the Young Bucks' wrestling, or if you don't like Lucha Libre, there's plenty good. There's gonna be plenty of stuff on that card that if that doesn't tickle your fancy, there's other feathers up there that you can ruffle.
And all that bitching that I said, that's in spite of the fact that on paper I know that match is gonna be badass. This is the Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers. Holy fuck! You know, that match is going to be bananas.
Yeah.
You know.
And so happens, it falls on the day that Kenny Omega becomes a free agent. So I think tomorrow is when Kenny Omega is officially a free agent. And hey, by the way, pool party to announce, to celebrate Double or Nothing. All in number two. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see. Speaking of which, I dipped my feet into another pool the last couple of days. Speaking of the Lucha Brothers, they lost the MLW tag team titles to the New Heart Foundation.
Oh.
British Bulldog, Teddy Hart, and Brian Pillman Jr.
Ooh.
MLW Super Fight in Philly happened over the weekend, and it was free on BN, and it was also on YouTube. So I was able to catch it. It was only about an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay.
That match was ugly.
In a good way?
A little bit of both. what was the was it Super Brawl where it was Brian Pillman against Kevin Sullivan, and like halfway through it, Pillman went to business for himself and then he just fucking left.
I don't remember.
I respect you, Booker man. Yeah, there were some spots in here where like they were chopping at Davey Boy, and then Davey Boy said, "Enough of this shit," and he started like cold cocking Ray Phoenix, and instead of tagging out, he just stood there like, "What the fuck?" And then what? It felt weird, but in a good way, because this wasn't your typical paint-by-the-numbers stuff. Like, you really didn't know what the fuck was going to happen next.
Okay.
Teddy Hart, for his age, he can still go, dude. He's pretty flippy in the ring. Hopefully, he can pick up some charisma, because I didn't feel that he had a lot of it once the bells rang. Mm-hmm. But as a team, Teddy Hart and British Bull and Davey Jr., I would think would be a more entertaining team than Killer Elite Squad.
Okay.
There's the chemistry there, and you can play off the heritage.
The lineage.
You have fucking Pillman Jr. at ringside causing shit.
And as much as a fucking weirdo screw-up as Teddy Hart is, you know, with the behind-the-scenes stuff and personal life stuff and all that, he's still a pretty good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never disliked his wrestling ability. His wrestling ability is fine. It's just, he's kind of a screw up, you know. He's a heart, but
he's a black one of those black hearts.
But then, I mean, so you got him, and then you got Davey Boy, and you got Pillman. Fuck yeah! You know, all you need now is Benoit Jr.
Hey, he's training.
He's training.
He's been showing up at some WWE house shows backstage. The main event, which could have been my match of the week pick, most definitely a candidate, but after what we saw with Halftime Heat and War to Collide, it left it behind. But for what it was, I really appreciated MLW's take on UFC. So we have Brock Lesnar on the main roster. We're testing the waters with Matt Riddle and NXT.
Right.
MLW has Filthy Tom Lawler.
Okay.
Who's fought some pretty good matches in UFC. I think he has a winning record in UFC.
Okay.
He defeated Loki, which unaware to me, he has been undefeated for the past 12 years in MLW. And he was their champion, their heavyweight champion up until Saturday. Filthy Tom Lawler choked out Loki.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Filthy Tom Lawler is the new heavyweight champ in MLW. And and it was refreshing, man. It was a different crowd. It was in the ECW arena, you know, another gritty looking presentation. Matt Stryker and Rich Bocchini on commentary.
Wait, really?
Yeah, there wasn't Tony Schiavone this time. It was Rich Bocchini and Matt Stryker.
good job, Rich. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
It was good. It was a good show. It got me intrigued. I'm gonna, again, so much food on the menu, you could only have so many portions at a time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've already dipped my toes in the NXT UK pond. Now I'm thinking slide a little bit in that MLW cut and see what it gives me.
Okay.
So there was another match in there. But to be honest, I'm not going to shit you guys. I didn't know those two guys, and I basically looked on YouTube to watch the matches I wanted to watch.
Okay.
But I will get there. If I watch it consistently, eventually I'm going to see guys like NXT UK that I've never heard of that I'll hook on.
It's just like with New Japan.
Exactly. Yeah. So it takes time. You're not going to get me full hook on the first show, but you got me. So we'll go work with that.
Okay.
That's MLW. God damn. So about Impact. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow. Fuck. No Impact.
So, one last bit, though. Impact is having a former world champion return at their WrestleMania weekend house show happening Thursday night.
But we don't know who?
Don't know who.
Maybe it'll be Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, shit. So speaking of AEW, rumor had it.
We weren't speaking of AEW, but okay.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's been one guy that AEW has been talking to, not officially offering him something, but just like, hey, you know what? You can always come play at my house.
Oh, geez. No, don't go where you think you're going to go.
Randy Orton.
What? Okay, that's not where I'm thinking you're going to go. What?
Randy Orton has been open about willing to have conversations with AEW. No?
Get the fuck out of here.
No? You don't think a tenured guy like Orton can help?
I don't believe that that's what's happening. Okay. But okay, I mean, sure, why not? Yeah, WCW brought over Luger, why not?
Yeah, sure.
Like, I mean,
match of the week candidate Randy Orton versus Mustafa Ali. Go.
I agree with Arnold that hey, Randy Orton is in a match of the week candidate. What fucking year is this? What kind of Twilight Zone bizarro world is this?
2007.
Yeah, well, even then, back then, fuck Randy Orton. Like, that guy, but like that match with him and Mustafa was pretty damn good. Maybe it was because of Mustafa did a couple of cool things and
blacked Mustafa Ali's eyes shut.
Yeah, I liked it,
and he still kept going.
I liked it. It was good.
So the quirks, the details that you were pointing out in Tyler Bate versus Velveteen Dream.
Yes,
so I'm gonna point out a couple in this one,
please.
Mustafa is not your average bear.
No.
He tried to do a springboard off the buckle, and Orton was ready to RKO him, but Ali froze, and Orton hesitated, and that's when Ali did the corkscrew tornado DDT. Ali ready to do the rolling X-Factor, and Orton knew it was coming, so he hit him on the ropes. For a match that had never happened before, I was surprised that these two knew each other well enough to give me the match they gave me.
And to counter their moves and stuff. Kayfabe-wise. Yeah, you're right.
It was fucking beautiful, dude. I loved it.
I liked Mustafa's promo beforehand, but the whole what-if promo, you know? And like, he's not going to fucking win. Like we know he's not going to win the chamber, but...
Corey was helping. Dude, what if Mustafa is the last guy that comes out of the pod? He's got the best chance if he's the last dude. You know? Come on.
Yeah. One of those matches where they both elevated each other. Yeah, you're right, Robert. Exactly. Yeah, Midland,
And then Joe came and fucked it all up.
Oh, of course.
Ah, yes. His promo.
Yes.
Can you tell how excited I am for this chamber match?
Yes, I can.
And then he came back at the end of the night to add more fuel to the fire. What do you think about Daniel Bryan's place in this so far with Rowan against five other dudes?
Him in with the five other guys, so far that hasn't solidified for me yet. That hasn't congealed yet. But I like the ingredients in that pan. The stuff with Bryan going out there, and yeah, he's going full bore with this goddamn fucking hemp belt and his hippie persona, and I'm digging it. I'm really digging it. But, and I don't know if this is a detriment or I'm just going to throw this out here. The first thing I said when he was done and he walked off after his promo, I was like, it's hard to boo a guy when he's right.
In front of his home crowd.
Yeah. Wow. This bitch. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if you've had this problem because you're in an apartment. Okay. And I don't know if any of our viewers have this problem because, you know, they may not live in an area. They may not live in an area where this is affected. But for the last 3 months or so, we haven't had our recycling actually come by and got picked up by the city of Houston because there was some sort of weird ass shortage and there was a thing that happened. So the Houston trash collection pickup weren't able to pick up their recycling. Some big fucking mess. So when I'm seeing all this shit with D-Bry, it just thinks,
fuck. Get close to home.
It's like, fuck, man, you're right, man. I heard taking out my recycling in a while. I'm lazy because I know I could go take it to them, but I wanted them to come fucking pick it up, and they haven't. But oh, God. And I'm like, shit, man. And here we are drinking bottles of water. And I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, he's right. He's right. And it's like, it's too goddamn hot and cold and hot and cold because our fucking bipolar ass weather is because of the fucking global warming. It wasn't like this when I was a kid.
75 and, you know, tomorrow, 42 on Friday.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, man? And it's like, you know what? I'm going to go buy myself a Prius. Like, you know what, D-Bry, God damn it, you're right. God damn it, he's right. He's right.
And then if you can afford a Tesla, for fuck's sake, please get a Tesla.
I can't afford a Tesla, but maybe a Volt, maybe. But like, shit, man, it's like, man, you're right, man, you're right. But see, like when he was, you know, a baby face, everyone just kind of, oh, he's a little vegan. You know, I know that stupid little bullshit vegan stuff. But, like, now he's, like, shoving it in your face because now he's pissed off and he's a new Daniel Bryan and he's a man about it. And
he can change.
And it's like, oh, you know what?
Then you can change.
I let Captain Planet down, y'all. I let him down.
I flushed my ring down the toilet and I can't get it back.
I can't do it, man.
I have no heart.
Yeah. Like, what happened, man? We let that motherfucker down. We let what him was down.
The evil Captain Planet called? The one with the
I don't remember, but we
help let, me out, chat room. Evil Captain Planet.
We let this motherfucker down, and we let down the fucking Dare Lion. Like, come on, man. We all let this motherfucker down. Like, man.
And 21 Savage, too. God damn.
And Daniel Bryan's going to be a guy to kick us all in the ass. Even though I know Vince McMahon is using it ironically, it's like, ah, fucking hippies, you know? It's like, no,
bitch, I'm going to take everybody's money.
I bet she's right. So, like, yeah, I'm conflicted.
I'm waiting for them to charge me twice the price for that wooden belt on shopwwe.com, and I'm going to still buy that hoe.
Because consumerism.
I'm going to call it Lisa.
Lisa.
Oh, God. Fuck, man. What is there not to like on SmackDown? Dude, matches. I'm not sure if it's match of the week candidate, but I enjoyed myself watching Daniel Bryan beat the fuck out of Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to the six, man.
What I was not looking for, or what I was not enjoying, was Jeff Hardy and AJ having that awkward promo in the back.
I like it that they're back in the locker rooms now.
That's true.
In front of instead of the stupid TVs that have Raw and all that other stupid set. Old school.
Yeah.
I like it. But man, I could see what they were trying to do. It just a face that has a bunch of faces painted on him against another face who's kind of not a face since he got slapped by Vince. And like, it's like square hole round peg.
And they're both not historically good on the mic.
And not historically.
Showed.
Yeah. We ain't paying you to talk. Flip, dip, bye.
Which was the flip and which was the
Jeff?
Dip?
Flip, dip, bye.
Oh. Fuck. Robert Bethes says, yeah, I ordered a potato taquito instead of a chorizo taquito. You too! See, you too! Man, it doesn't help.
I had Subway yesterday.
It doesn't help that now at my new job, I work with two vegans and a vegetarian.
I'm not seeing the results yet.
Well, it's because I haven't partaken. I feel guilty.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't help, man.
Which was the better segment? Becky against Triple H on SmackDown or Becky versus Stephanie on Raw?
Ooh.
Because you want to talk about worlds colliding. It's one thing when you step up to the female boss. But when you step up to the male boss and you hit him in the mouth,
I'm going to say Triple H. But not because of the fact that, like, she hit Triple H. Because she hit both of them, all right?
She beat the fuck out of one of them.
That's true. I'm going to say the Triple H one because not of what Becky did. Triple H did. That fucking reverse psychology that tried to work but didn't work, and still she slapped the fuck out of him. She's like, I see right through you. I know exactly what you're doing, so I'm just going to stand here smugly because
you're not Eddie Guerrero and I'm not Chris Benoit. Yeah. That shit ain't going to work.
Yeah, it ain't working on me, bitch. Like, but what he was saying, woo, he was shooting daggers at her, man. Like, fucking, like, he was trying. He was going for the jugular.
Patella.
The patella tendon. Like, he was trying. Like, he was about to, yeah. Like, ooh, the shit he was saying.
I think the significance, you can't have the chicken without the egg. I'm going to lean towards Becky versus Stephanie.
Okay.
Because even up till now, I like Ronda. But apparently after last Monday, she's the fucking heel because everybody booed the fuck out of Ronda after that segment. Like, she found out the hard way. I'm badass, but as soon as Becky did what she – as soon as I broke – Becky's face got broke, my popularity went down the fucking shitter.
Yeah, it's like – so okay, we like you, but we really like you. So
you're the girl I take home to mom, but this is the girl I want to fuck, okay? So fuck you. And in hindsight, that could work if WWE wants to pull the trigger on the Battle of the Four Horsewomen. Right. It's not going to work with Ronda being the face and all the rest of them being bitches. She needs to heal it up. And this is the perfect catalyst to get that momentum going.
Right. And with Ronda, I like the way that this is kind of slowly, somewhat organically turning because she's like, y'all are supposed to adore me. And what I really liked about what happened on Raw is there was a segment where she was in the back where she was dressing down Becky or attempting to dress down Becky and was being like a bit of a cunt. And
A bit of a cunt.
And then her music hits, she walks out, and she's smiling and like, you two-faced motherfucking bitch. Like, like, I see you for what you is. You know, now I see you. So it's like she's still trying to be Miss America, I'm America's little darling because, you know, UFC and this and that. Yeah,
but she won the tournament with Russia votes.
Yeah. And so when she's in the back and she's talking to the other girls, she's looking down on them like, oh, I could fucking kick your ass in here. Like, you know, shit. But it's like, hey, love me, adore me. And I see through your fucking shit, bitch. So that's, I like the way they're doing that because it's making me really hate her even though she's not a heel, you know. But, yeah, I like it.
It's further adding fuel to the fire. Man, they're ending the show. They're ending Mania with this, and I'm all fucking for it. I'm not sure if there's going to be another year where this is going to fly. So strike while the iron's blazing hot and end it with Becky Ronda.
Okay.
So I'm fucking loving it, dude. How about Finn Balor and Lio Rush?
That was a good little match. I'm glad that they are doing with Lio and Lashley what they did with the New Day, where the New Day was supposed to not get over. Y'all were supposed to be cheesy. Y'all were supposed to be stupid and minstrels, basically, right? That's kind of how it was supposed to be. Lashley, hit him with the ass pose, you know, and like all that like stupid shit. But and Lio just running away. But now it's like, hey, here's the big guy. And oh, by the way, I'm a badass in the ring too. So I know he's like 2.5 of me's, but I can You know, take care of it. I can hang. So he got in the ring and he hung. He hung with Finn. It was very well hung.
Of course, you liking chocolate. Well, yeah. It did.
How about the awful Lashley promo? We're over here talking good about it, and Medlin's talking about the awful Lashley promo.
Because we're talking about Between the Bells. Between the Bells did something that very few things on Raw have done lately.
Okay.
And it left me wanting fucking more. Not just a Finn versus Leo, but I've even after the match between Finn and Lesnar, the matches on Raw between Finn and Braun, the matches with Finn and Drew, Finn can actually hang with these guys that are bigger than him.
Right.
And Lashley, for the being deceptive because all you see is his ass pose, you forget that if you've been watching TNA, if sound falls in a forest, Lashley can fucking wrestle. He can make wrestlers look good. He made fucking Austin Aries and Low-Key on television on Impact look like they can beat the fuck out of Lashley.
Yeah.
So I want to see Lashley against fucking Finn Balor. That could be a sleeper match. A chamber that y'all might not be paying attention to until it's too late. I'm fucking looking forward to that.
Shit, I
want to
see Leo versus more folk. Mm-hmm. I don't want Leo to be a cowardly bullshit hype man manager.
Put Lashley and Leo on 205 and have Lashley back up Leo.
Like if Lashley was like 40 plus years old and he was in the twilight of his career, all right, Leo, go be a manager. But he's not. He's fucking 25. He's being wasted as just a bullshit-ass manager when he has so much fucking talent.
He's good at it, though. He's getting better at it.
I mean,
in the beginning,
he's good at it, but I don't want him to only be. Yeah. And it kind of makes me realize why Titus Worldwide didn't 100% work. Because Titus also, in the prime of his fucking career, why isn't he out there actually wrestling? You know, he should be out there.
Up under the ring. Well,
2 years removed, 2 years after the fact, But 2 years ago or a year ago, whenever it was, Titus Worldwide's first going, I was like, okay, he could be a manager.
But
he still is good at wrestling.
We still had the primetime player taste in our mouth, and we wanted more of that, too.
I wanted more of him actually in the ring. And if he could have been a manager and wrestler at the same time, kind of weird, but you're redefining the manager role because he's
player coach.
Work, and that's why everybody kind of gave it a chance.
Pancake Patterson.
But WWE never saw it as something that could have been innovative. They were like, oh, you're not a good wrestler, you're not over, we'll just have you as a manager, and that's it. And that's what I'm afraid they were going to try to do with Leo, and they still may do with Leo, but Monday kind of gave me a flash that maybe he's going to be more of Lashley's friend than Lashley is fucking pipsqueak-ass manager.
I agree.
A friend who can also, you know what, I could go too, and I'll wrestle you too, you know?
So tell me this. Where's EC1 and EC2?
I would like to know the answer to that question. And I'm being serious. Because EC3 is Ethan Carter III. Just like me.
Not the formula for success.
I'm Abel Morales III. My daddy is Abel Morales Jr. My grandpappy is Abel Morales. Okay? I want EC1 and 2 to be referenced at some point. Why? Because EC stands for Ethan Carter. His entire fucking character that you're allowing him to keep through the name, but only the initials, is the fact that he's a Carter. Carters were the ones that made TNA. You let it happen with Bischoff. When Bischoff came over, hey, here's the guy who ran the competition. So, you're in charge over there. Like, fucking use that shit, man. EC3. Oh, you're Ethan Carter III. The Carters, kayfabe still. You know, even if you look at Dixie, oh, the Carters are the ones that ran TNA, and now we have you over here. Oh, you know what? We're going to book you in 3-on-1 matches. We're going to book you in all these impossible scenarios. And that could get over because EC3 is like, hey, I can't help that my last name is my last name. I can't help that you have beef with my fucking aunt. That's not me. I'm a wrestler. Give me a fucking chance. And he could play up that shit as an underdog babyface so well. So well
the
with that.
The reason I showed up at NXT before was because I wanted to do it on my own. Until I realized I can get so much further writing my aunt's name.
Yeah.
That's simple. And the fact that you already had Dixie in the Kurt Angle documentary.
Exactly.
And you've had all these guys in Impact and the front and, Impact that are on the
Nigel background. Nigel documentary? Was Dixie at least talked about in the Nigel documentary?
Not her in particular, but they did reference his time in TNA wrestling with Kurt Angle.
Okay.
So it's other universes do exist besides WWE, whether it's Pluto or Uranus or whatever, but it's out there. Acknowledge it, you know?
Acknowledge your anus.
Oh, man.
Why are you guys going to be saying gay-ass shit, man?
I take present company included into the conversation. Uh-huh. Is there anything that we missed, or is there anything that the peoples want us to acknowledge before we drop the mic and go home?
Man, I think that's it, man. I don't think there's anything else on the main roster that I need to belabor. I mean,
it'll get its time next week. Next week is our go-home show.
Next week is a go-home for Chamber already?
Mm-hmm. That quick? There was 3 weeks between Rumble and Chamber.
Okay.
There's 3 weeks between Chamber and Fastlane. Ugh. And then there's 4 weeks between Fastlane and WrestleMania.
God damn.
And then in May, WWE goes back to Saudi Arabia. Before then, spoiler alert, WWE is advertising a Raw and SmackDown twofer in Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Ooh.
And they're advertising it as a international draft.
Oh.
So it could be possible that 205 NXT UK might be involved in some of these movings around. What could get a team between Daddy Finn and Baby Finn?
Yeah.
We can get Cedric against Pete Dunne in the UK division.
Yeah.
You know? Probably let me see a little bit more Walter in the big time.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or Keith Lee against Walter.
Because apparently the stuff with Lars fell through. Lars was supposed to be showing up.
Lars, oh, man, I'm so – it's easy to make fun of a guy that you would think, hey, man, there's pressure. You're going to the main roster. People might not think you're ready. But anxiety and depression is no fucking joke, dude.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I and being in that position daily – When my feet hit the ground and every morning when I wake up, it's a fucking struggle, man.
Yeah.
So to know that a guy that menacing, that built, that smart, as a human being, still as human as the rest of us.
Yep.
And I still want to see him. I'm not in the camp of whatever doubts that he has that he thinks that we have of him. I'm not in that camp. Yeah. I fucking love me some Lars Sullivan.
You make fun of that.
I want to see him, and they're still showing video packages of him. It's sparse, but they still want to. That's their own property. They don't want it to go to waste. They want to give the kid a shot.
It's the same with Mauro. Yeah. Like I want to see Mauro, but I understand he doesn't want to travel the road, and he can't. You know,
he can't
do it. Everything. He can't handle it. You know, and I get it. Like I mean, I'm not saying oh fuck you, you can't handle it. You know, I'm saying hey, you can't handle it. You can't handle it. But
if he's worth making exceptions for, keep him around. Yeah. Same thing with Lars. So, I'm hoping I get to see him somewhere. If he if he feels more comfortable just being a big fish in NXT, fuck it, let him play around NXT.
Yeah.
If he's ready, if he wants to step up to the main roster, go for it. But I'm curious to see what this international draft is gonna go down.
Yeah,
and I think it's the week. Or 2 weeks after Mania, because it's in Montreal and Mania is in New York, so it's just down the road.
Montreal, eh?
Yeah. So.
Think Owens might be back? Or
who knows? Oh, Canada.
You know what? We just totally blew past all this, and I think I know why I blew past all it, but I'm going to ask you. Chamber's here, fool.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going?
Of course. I got tickets at the last taping. That was the taping that I left early during the Rousey main event because I wanted to get in line. I got us some decent tickets for me and my nephew. We'll be there. I shared on my Facebook page to remind people, hey, y'all got to go to this event. I don't want to be the only person in the arena. If it's 30% full, it'll be a snowball's chance in hell before they bring another pay-per-view back to Houston. So right. I would like to see a foolish house.
Yeah.
At least the bottom level. Come on. Not that hard.
Well, I'm fucking broke right now.
So but both brands will be there. So this isn't just a Raw or a SmackDown show. Right, so I would like to think that more people actually come to this.
Yeah.
So
We'll see.
I mean, it's Chamber, and we're on the road to WrestleMania, I would assume. I mean, I'm not, but I just can't afford it. So
that's it, man. Unless there's anything else Robert that we need to touch on.
Nikki Cross is already getting screwed, huh?
Oh, man.
Robert also says, I'm not paying $100 for decent seats, though.
I think I paid $30.
Hey, it's an Elimination Chamber.
Every seat view, is obstructed view.
Yeah.
Yep. He's getting it. He's getting it.
Every seat's
obstructed. Yeah. So that's it. That's the show, brother.
That's it. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.